so much is going on and time is moving so fast now that like I don't remember even the spirit of Ramadan yet.
I know what you mean.
I don't feel it. You know what I'm talking about?
He told me to get pictures of Joe Jonas's feet so we could sell it and retire from our job.
Like, unironically, that could actually work.
Joe Jonas's toes.
I'm sure, like, I feel like guys are less protective of their toes. People don't realize how powerful toes can be.
That is, I don't even want to think about that.
Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Cousin
Connection Podcast.
Yeah, guys. So, you know, we always talk about consistency here.
This time it wasn't my fault.
You know, I feel like we should just stop mentioning consistency because I feel like that's kind of like...
We jinx ourselves.
Yeah, it's like, don't say it's too quiet in here kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Because the moment that happens, you know, it hits the fan.
Yep, that's true.
So, but, you know, it's been a busy couple weeks. And the reason we missed last week is because, you know, I was not in the city. Now that I'm married, I have in-laws. And when you have in-laws, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Especially since it's the first Ramadan with my wife being away and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You gotta go out and make sure you see the fam, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, spend some time with them, see how they celebrate or practice Ramadan too.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's different in the household. Like when it comes to like the smallest things, like how you eat, what you eat, all those things. Like their family's weird.
Like how?
Like... They'll like eat, they'll eat like soup or something, and then you guys just won't eat for like another 30 to 45 minutes.
Because the soup is the appetizer. That's what you open your appetite with.
Yeah.
You pray, you know, you make your dua, take your time, digest the soup, and then you'll have your main, meal.
Like we break our fast, immediately pray.
Yeah.
And then dig into the food. Like we have the soup and then immediately we go into the food and all that kind of stuff.
How do you stomach that?
That's the thing. It you know what? To be fair.
You have itis every night.
Yeah, we do get itis.
Exactly.
But like I've, you know, worked up the tolerance now to where the itis doesn't hit me as much.
I literally can't.
Now I'm curious. I want to know what your rituals or like your practices are, your traditions are at the house when it comes to like how you break your fast in the home.
Yeah.
Because I feel like everybody's a little bit different on like what their method is.
Yeah, that's true. Right? It is different. When you go to people's houses, too, it's always like...
Yeah.
You don't know what to do, so you just wait for them to lead.
Exactly, exactly. Like, I've heard of, like, there are some houses where they might not even have, like... You know how sometimes you play, like, Jumah.
Oh, pray Jumah.
Right at, like, for Maghrib or whatever.
Yeah.
But there are some families where, like, you'll start eating, and then people might just go out here and there and do, like, a 1-2 thing. I've seen that in some people's houses too.
Yeah.
That so, could happen. You know, it's interesting seeing how other people practice. So I just want to know how you guys what your traditions are in the house.
Okay? Yeah. We just finished the first 2 weeks of Ramadan.
Yeah.
How are y'all feeling? How are you feeling?
Honestly, I was telling people this because yesterday we had like the general iftar where you go to like the mosque or the musalla in this case. And I was telling everyone, it literally feels like Ramadan just started for me. Like it's been so busy.
Oh, yeah.
With like so much going on with the planning. I was gone for like the first week of I was here for the first day of Ramadan and immediately left. Or no, first couple of days of Ramadan and immediately left. I came back a week later and people were already gearing up for like, oh, it's the second week. And then like there's a bunch of other planning that's going on in the household for things we're doing in the future. So that took a lot of time and also visiting family and friends and stuff like that.
Yep.
That takes up time. Next thing you know, it's 2 weeks in and it's like, it's so much is going on and time is moving so fast now that like, I don't remember even the spirit of Ramadan yet.
I know what you mean.
I don't feel it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I get what you mean.
It's not that I don't remember, so I don't feel it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I mean, like, I wasn't traveling, so I've been going to the musalla on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
So that kind of helps. And just, like, I guess, obviously being at home and having, like, our own traditions that we do at home. But there is something that's different this year, and I can't tell what it is. Something just feels different.
I think... One reason that I think it is because the shorter times now.
It's throwing me off.
Yeah. The shorter times. Like, because for the first week, it was only up until like 6:30, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like you don't have time after work to kind of just relax.
Yes.
And like take in, because when you're working 9 to 5, the moment you stop, that's when like really you kind of like relax and you remember, okay, it's Ramadan, and like, you know, you do your Ramadan rituals, whatever you do before you break your fast. Mm-hmm. But now for a lot of people, they're like getting home, getting them food prepared, and immediately breaking their fast. That's how quick it is.
Yeah, I think it's like a mixture of that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I guess, you know, when you're older, like, mm-hmm. it just doesn't feel the same. Yeah. I even like decorated my parents' house to try and like get in the Ramadan spirit, yeah. which it has helped.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because of daylight savings, but I've been so tired.
Really?
Like constantly just like exhausted. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I must be deficient in one of my vitamins. I need to go back to taking my multivitamins or something, because the way that I'm just tired 24/7, mm-hmm. I started drinking coffee again, which normally I don't drink during Ramadan, but I can't help it.
Ironically enough, like I was the person who every time after breaking my fast, I would go and get coffee or whatever, or make coffee. And I haven't had coffee as often. So maybe that's why I feel like some of the things, okay, it kind of goes into the fact that now that I'm married and like you have to kind of find out a new routine. Mm-hmm. But then when your first week as a married couple in Ramadan is kind of interrupted with a trip, then you can't really get into that. So I feel like maybe this next 2 weeks are going to be the real test, or like the real feeling. Maybe the spirit might like get into me. Wait, that sounds very Christian.
What's that one sound on TikTok that goes like Holy Spirit?
that's literally what I was thinking in my mind.
Popped up into my head.
But you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, no, yeah, I get what you mean. That feeling. You're right. I think it's hard for you to like, especially because you're such a routine guy.
Yeah.
And your routine has been completely thrown out the window.
Exactly.
And I feel like you're probably still trying to find that settling moment.
Mm-hmm. I haven't established my regular routine, like outside of Ramadan, right?
I know you're struggling low-key, but you're just still
doing
it.
I'm still going out. I'm still going to the gym.
Yeah.
You know, like that, a big part of my routine is always, you know, gym, food, walks. Right? And like those things are still sort of getting done. Maybe not as often. Well, the walks are always there, but like, you know, they're kind of not as consistent in the timing and all that stuff. So that wasn't already settled. And then Ramadan, I think it's also because Ramadan kind of snuck up on us too. Doesn't it feel like it came in a little bit faster? Like it 1 week it wasn't, and then next week it was Ramadan.
I mean, that's normally how it goes.
I guess so. Yeah, but like, you know, it's like,
what you mean. I think mentally we were like, okay, we still have a week. Mm-hmm. And then it was like Monday, mm-hmm. Saturday it's Ramadan, or Sunday it's Ramadan.
Yeah.
What was it? When did Ramadan start? Monday? Sunday?
It started Saturday.
Saturday, yeah. Sorry, yeah.
Unless you're, I think it's like, what, Pakistani or something? There was one country where
they didn't start on Saturday? On
Sunday. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I saw it on a TikTok comment. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt.
All right. Well, you know, I don't know. I have no comment on that. I don't know. I think in the next week, we'll start to get into the Ramadan spirit.
Yeah, a routine. And also because the days are getting longer now. And because daylight saving has finally came in, so it is more it's more at a time that we're used to, because for the past 15 however many years it's been a long time. Yeah, literally since like high school or something's been summer.
Yeah,
I can't remember. I think that's how long it's been. So that's where we're kind of used to. So I think I've mentioned this before even Ramadan started, but I'm scared of what's gonna happen like in a couple months, not a couple months, sorry, in a few years, to where it's literally in like Maghrib comes in at like 5 o'clock.
Oh yeah, those days.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I remember Ramadan being in like December was when we were literal children.
Yeah, I have pictures of those days.
Yeah, I used
to remember.
We were
in like Warden Woods those days.
Yeah. And I used to like live for those moments, Friday, Saturday, Sundays at the community center with everyone breaking our fast. Those were good times.
You also had less responsibilities back then.
That is also true.
Right. And maybe that plays into why the spirit is harder to get into the routine, the Ramadan routine, because you have more responsibilities.
You're like working and you know, like
your hours are longer because you have more responsibility at your job and stuff like that.
Yeah, like I tried to prepare my coworkers ahead of time and let them know like, hey guys, for this month, like I'm gonna be leaving a little bit earlier.
Yeah,
you know, still doing the same amount of work, just mm-hmm. like not staying until 6:30 like I normally do, mm-hmm. you know? So I'm grateful that they've been pretty understanding from that regard. But yeah, the work doesn't slow down.
It doesn't.
So, and then the other thing that, like, I feel like you obviously cannot relate to because you're a man, mm-hmm. is when women get their, like, menstrual cycle and... Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like your hands are tied because you can't pray, mm-hmm. you can't really read Quran, and that's usually during Ramadan is when you want to up those specific acts, right? Like, yeah. you want to go to Taraweeh, you want to, like, take time to read the Quran more, and you can't do it, and it's like this, like, guilt that you feel, mm-hmm. like, you're like, I'm just not doing enough, and then you feel bad, and mm-hmm. It's such a tough thing to navigate.
Yeah.
But there are so many other things that you can do in place of that. Like, mm-hmm. you can do your adhkar, you can do, like, different dhikrs. You can read Islamic books just mm-hmm. to kind of get your, I guess, mental into that space. Does that make sense?
To get that does help.
Your and head into that
one
space.
One thing I did notice, though, and this is a huge change from this year to last year. Let me know if you guys have seen this, too. But, like, my algorithm... Last year, when it went from, like, outside of Ramadan to inside of, like, my algorithm completely changed. Mm-hmm. Like, even without me, like, interacting heavily with certain, like, Muslim content, even though I was, but it wasn't like I was intentionally doing it. Mm. It just switched almost immediately to mm-hmm. fully Muslim content.
Yeah.
But this year, I think it's because of what's happening in, like, Palestine and stuff like that. And also this whole, like, anti-Muslim sentiment that's been going around. Well, it's always been around, but it seems to be like escalated even to the algorithms now, where they're almost suppressing a lot of this content. So you don't see it as much. Like, if you go on TikTok, like, maybe now it's like 1 out of 10 that will be Muslim content, or 2 out of 10. And
kind of, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
before it was like 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 would be Muslim content.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's because I, like, kind of tried to force my algorithm, like, I curated it a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I see a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But I know last year, because I know we talked about this mm-hmm. on the pod, but, like, it almost felt like a little too commercialized last year.
Yeah.
But it still feels like that this year. And that's actually one of the points that I put down. Don't you know? You didn't feel that this year?
No, because I'm not seeing, like, I'm watching YouTube videos, which should then inform my algorithms, because you know how this all is connected, right? Mm-hmm. But it isn't, which is weird, right? Like, I'm watching videos that are being put up by Muslim content creators on, like, lessons and stories and stuff like that, but it just doesn't pop up on my algorithm there. So I've been on TikTok less, but actually, no, honestly, my doom scrolling or scrolling on TikTok... Because, like, there's a lot of traveling. And also, like, there are a lot of times where you're just sitting down. And for some reason, I wasn't motivated. Maybe that's a big part that I need to work on. Is I wasn't motivated to, like, instead of going on TikTok, maybe opening up the Quran or, like, some translation, like, going through it and something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was something that, a huge thing that changed this year. I'm like, why don't I have that motivation?
That's okay.
Yeah.
So when we thought we were going to be filming last week before the trip, remember I put a point, I actually erased it, but it said, like, struggling to feel connected to Ramadan.
Yeah.
I think it was like, I couldn't find the words at the time, but you're right. It actually ties back to motivation. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like any sort of spiritual journey that you take, whether it's a trip to do Umrah or Hajj or, you know, anything that involves your religion, I feel like you actually have to prepare for it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't prepare and you just allow it to arrive, then you lack the motivation. And it's hard to, like, just be like, okay, I'm going to be motivated today. Like, you can't just do that.
Yeah. You kind of have to just pray for it and hope that it comes.
Yeah. But also, like, you know, you can take certain steps, like maybe instead of watching, you know, a YouTube video on, I don't know, how to build a computer.
Yeah.
You would watch that.
Yeah.
Watch, like, an Islamic video. Like, I know Omar Suleiman has a really great series. Again, like, usually he does Ramadan series. I find that it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. But there are little things that you can kind of do. And I'm saying this, obviously, as advice for myself first, because, like, Lord knows I need it. But even when I was like preparing for this week's episode and I just kind of like opened this, I truly was like, wow, it's like wipe off the dust from this book. Like, it's so interesting.
It is.
Especially when you read like, because it's not just the translation, but there are like themes that are identified.
Yeah.
And I know you told me about this like 2 years ago.
Because I went through like half of it during Ramadan last year, which is a huge motivation.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone. And that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University. Set a course for change. Certified to operate by Chev.
I'm slowly finding my motivation.
Yeah, we're talking about the Quran translation. But
The Clear Quran.
That one, the Clear Quran. But like, but one thing to remind, just if you're a person who's listening to this, who's kind of relating to what we're saying, you shouldn't necessarily feel bad. And like, as an individual, just remember, as long as you're doing your obligations, like these are just things you should, are like a good things to do on top of that. But just make sure like, don't let the fact that you're not doing these extra things demotivate you from doing all everything, including your obligations, right?
Right, right, right.
Because sometimes people can spiral in that sense. So just remember that purely doing your obligations will still...
It's still sufficient.
And there are plenty of stories of scholars and even just regular individuals that even the Prophet has pointed out specifically. There's one story, I can't remember the exact name of the person, where he was in a mosque and he mentioned like the next person, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like, the next person coming through that door, he's going to be entering Jannah. And it was just like an older disheveled man who had like slippers on. He walked in and he just did his prayers and kind of left. And then he did that, I think, a few more times, and it was the same man. So like another person, one of his... companions, he's like, I wonder what this guy's doing, like what's this extra stuff this guy's doing that's gonna get him into paradise, like that, like the Prophet would specifically point him out. So he's like, hey, can I like stay with you? He went up to do, he's like, can I stay with you, you know, and you know, follow you around for a bit? He's like, okay, no problem. So he followed him to his house and he's like, oh, you know, it's probably the night prayers, right? He's probably doing the night prayers. So he slept, he went to the house and he stayed up the night to see if he would wake up. Man never woke up once. He literally just woke up for Fajr, went to the mosque, prayed, did his normal thing. He went to his shop, worked the shop, did his five prayers a day, and he went back home, did the same thing, same routine every day. And that was a lesson to make you realize that, like, as long as you follow the obligations and avoid the sins, you're good. You know, you're going to enter Jannah, inshallah. So just remember, you know, these things are extra things we're talking about.
I mean, and, like, sorry to jump in, but like, of course it's good to do the sunnah, right?
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Maximize your rewards during this time. Like,
yeah, this is more for people who might feel depressed for like missing out on those things, or may feel, because I've had times in my past where I feel like, oh, I'm not doing all these extra things that all my friends are doing.
Let's unpack that for a second.
What?
Okay. This is a new therapy session. No, because.
What?
Do you feel that way because you're consuming content where you're seeing people that are like going to Tarawih every night?
Exactly, yeah, that could be the case.
Like praying to Hajj every night. Like,
well, like these were things like from 10 years ago more. So like it wasn't.
But do you feel like it's like more prominent now?
Oh, yeah. I feel like a lot more people probably feel that way.
Yeah.
Where like they're probably younger kids. Oh, shit. I'm so old. I'm calling the kids probably like in their 20s. Who feel like they're failing as Muslims because they're not going to Tarawih every night. When as long as you're doing your obligations, like you're and avoiding the sins, like you could be considered pious by some others. So just, you know, make sure you focus on yourself, because at the end of the day, when you pass away, it's like, you know, it's going to be between you and Allah. So
yeah,
you got to make sure that you just focus on yourself and don't let these other things distract you. Let them be motivations to do good, extra good things and in your life. But don't let it deter you from like, or make you feel negative towards yourself.
Yeah. And I think like, we also have to remember, this is actually the theme of the verse of the week that we have. I'm going to bring it up in a little bit. But like, totally relates to it, is remembering that those of us that live in non-Muslim countries, you know, it's a lot more difficult for us to be a practicing Muslim. Mm-hmm. Like it's actually like a lot more difficult. It's not like the odds are in our favor here. You know what I mean? We don't have mosques in every corner. We don't have adhan playing out loud for us, like to remind us of prayers. You know what I mean? Like we have to take extra steps in order to be diligent in terms of like performing our daily obligations. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's also just remembering that because we have to put in like double the effort that we would had we lived in a Muslim country, there's also just remembering that, right? Like, I can't remember, maybe I shouldn't say this because I don't remember the details exactly, so I'm gonna avoid saying it, but just know that when you put in the effort, like Allah sees you putting in the effort, and your intention is obviously, you know, very, very important too. And if you're doing your good deeds for the sake of God, especially during Ramadan where your rewards are multiplied, like that's just keep that in mind. And hopefully that kind of gives you a little bit of comfort. Even if you feel like you're doing the bare minimum, it's still a rewardable act as long as you're performing it correctly, you know? So
because social media can definitely make you feel like you're not doing enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, that's why I kind of talked about like, has Ramadan become a TikTok trend again? Mm-hmm. One thing that I see all the time are the Ramadan cats.
I love those videos.
I know. Mm-hmm. And like the Ramadan cats. And also I've seen a lot.
I want a Ramadan cat. So bad.
Would you dress it up in a little thobe?
What, for Sister Minnie?
For what?
For Sister Minnie. Got a nice Muslim cat.
Exactly. But I mean, you know, aside from the Ramadan cat, which is a little bit more of a lighthearted thing, there are a lot of like, kind of like vlog style, especially with people moving from vlogging specifically or exclusively on YouTube or Instagram. Now they're moving more to TikTok. And so you're seeing more of the like the daily vlog style things, or you'll see a lot of like get ready with me to go to Taraweeh. And I find that, and this is just my personal opinion, like it's truly not an attack on anyone. When it comes to things like prayer and just like different acts of worship, I feel like they're so sacred. Yes. See that cousin connection, guys? It's so sacred that like it almost makes me feel a little like uncomfortable, or just like it's just a foreign concept to commercialize it in such a way where it's so mainstream on TikTok. Like on one hand, it's like, wow, you know, thanks for sharing this part of our religion where maybe people who aren't normally exposed to things like Taraweeh can understand what it means. But at the same time, I'm like,
I think it's a generational thing, like because we're millennials, man.
Maybe
we're old, know. You know.
Don't say that. You're making it sound like we're boomers or something.
I'm a millennial, actually. I feel like I'm really tuned in with the kids these days.
Okay, when you say it like that, you're actually not. Okay, they make fun of people like you.
What?
You probably have the millennial pause.
I do not have the millennial pause, but I saw a video where someone put a compilation of the millennial pause.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how bad it was.
It's actually kind of cringy.
When you see them all put together, it makes it even worse. And there are some like where the pause is almost like an uncomfortable pause. We're like, how do you not know you're recording at this point?
You have to be sure.
What? No, but this like a 2-3 second pause. The millennial pause, I'll give you half a second to a second.
I don't know.
But then you had like the, not millennials, Gen Z, where like they're talking before it even starts recording.
Yeah, they just
they're like mid-word.
I think Gen Z's vibe is totally unfiltered, totally unedited, just raw, like take me as I am type of thing.
Like,
you know,
there's that whole meme where like people are like on TikTok, you're like, you exposing this, where basically people are like giving details that they should not be because of the digital footprint. Or the people write, people will say like digital footprint is mad, or like digital footprint is crazy. Whenever they like someone posts something kind of like they're exposed a little too much.
Yeah, but like if you remember, because we grew up in the time where the internet was just being introduced and we were like basically fear-mongered into believing like you can be kidnapped based on what you put on the internet.
And they said,
like,
don't put your name out there for the
longest time. Oh my God, I remember that. Why do you think my first email was angel_babyblue?
Exactly, see? I got the weirdest names back then.
No, for real. Like, I don't know. Maybe it is a generational thing, and it pains me to say that.
And the thing is that, the annoying thing is that, like, if we did start putting our names out initially, we would have, like, all the OG names on, like, everyone would have their old name on social media.
Yes.
I wish they didn't tell us that.
Coming from someone who has the most common first name and the most common last name, I can never have anything to myself. Yeah. It's so annoying.
Have you ever searched up who the Sara Ali is on Instagram?
Yes, I DM'd multiple times.
Really?
Like, please, Do they use it? No. Like, my name is so common.
Yeah.
There is another Sara Ali in my place of work.
Really?
And we always get each other's emails to the point where, like, things are meant for her and things that are meant for
me. What's her background?
I think Southeast Asian.
Oh, okay.
And one day after, like, maybe 2 years of us just receiving each other's emails, she messaged me and she was like, want to go for coffee? I said, yeah, let's do it. So we had a meeting called Sarah and Sarah. And it was fun. She's really nice.
Okay, sweet lady. Cool. You know, making connections out there.
Yeah, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I think I was like telling my manager about this. He's like, so you guys bonded over having the same name? I'm like, I don't think you understand.
Yeah.
We have the exact same name. Like, exact same name.
I don't know if her like middle name was like Muhammad or something. Or like Nadia.
I would literally be like, are we twins? Like, our email addresses are the same. It's just,
but so she's probably like, I can't say the company name.
No,
but,
like, hers is, so there's my company that owns hers.
Yeah.
So the @ is a little different. It's different.
Yeah.
But the first part is
S-A. But I'm sure, like, whenever people put in the first name, it auto-populates to, like, one of you guys.
Yeah, yeah, And that's the issue. Yeah. So
do you guys have your pictures on, like, you know how something you put pictures on thing?
We do.
And they still pick the wrong one?
Yeah, because I think people just, like, type and hit enter, right? Like, they don't think too much about it.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know that there are two Saras, then you wouldn't think to, like, select the right one.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. But usually when you know, we're getting too much into details right now. Okay. What were we talking about? Oh yeah, TikTok trends.
Yes.
And then the weird TikTok trend right now is like the Yemeni coffee trend.
Yes.
That's huge.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been us though. And like 5 years ago or like
going to the coffee shops?
Almost like 8 years ago now. I feel like that would have been us with the coffee shops.
If I wasn't working 9 to 5, if I wasn't working 8 to 4.
Oh yeah, I guess so. I forgot that. Like,
if I was a student, or if I just lived like what's it called? What's that plaza called? The really popular
Ridgeway
one.
Plaza.
Yes, Ridgeway Plaza. Like, on one hand, I've
never been. It's, neither have it's I. Closer to me now.
It looks so kind of intimidating. I feel like I should just go
for the experience. But actually, we have our own kind of like Ridgeway Plaza.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And like people are talking trash about it. They're like, really? Nobody likes Deeswater anymore, anyways.
I mean, why did they fall off or something?
No, I think it's just hate from the West End. I don't know. Do they have their own D-spot in the West End? D-spot equivalent? I feel like D-spot's everywhere at
Dimitri's
this point.
Dimitri's, maybe.
Ew, Dimitri's?
Nah,
Dimitri's are like... Dimitri's? No, okay, I like...
Dimitri's walked so D-spot could run.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's what I'm saying. Dimitri's like the OG. Yeah. But like, they weren't Muslim. They were like Greek or something like that, right?
Yeah, it was like a random...
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, D-spot was our own people. Just like, okay.
I know.
And did they not start... Was that not the first spot in Scarborough?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
That was our spot.
Yeah, it was our spot for a long time.
If we were smart and we had money back then, we could have invested. I'm just saying.
For real, though. Yeah, I kind of did, but you know. Like,
did you?
Of course. I've been investing for years. What are you talking about?
You invested in D-Spot?
Oh, no, not in D-Spot. Oh. Sorry. I thought like, just generally.
No, I'm talking about D-Spot.
Okay, I guess so. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know, but.
But the Yemeni coffee trend has been going mad on. Like, I don't know if it's only Toronto TikTok, but.
No, I
feel like it's everywhere.
Yeah, and like,
why is it specifically Yemeni coffee too?
Because it was a big thing in the States, like New York, Detroit. Like, was Detroit the other main Muslim city? Is it Detroit?
Dearborn. Yeah,
Dearborn. That's what it is.
They have like Kahwa House and all those places.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think those became super popular, and then especially during Ramadan.
Yeah.
So that now that Toronto has something equivalent to that, it's kind of popping.
Okay, but you know. We're past that age, not really looking. Actually, maybe you could pull up to Ridgeway Plaza.
Absolutely not.
You're still looking out here. I'm just saying, thank you. A lot of men with beards that connect, you know?
Thank you.
Tall and 6 foot. I'm just saying, okay? If you went to brown boys, I'm just saying.
Okay. I'm good. Thank you very much. All good. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
So as Sada mentioned last week, we were going to bring a verse that really spoke to one of us. So Sada is going to read it out here and we're going to discuss.
Okay. So this is actually from the surah. Hold on, let me get the name. I have the English name. No, it's called the cattle.
Oh.
But in English.
So that's the cow. Oh, my God.
I know. Al-Surat
al-Cattle. I was like, oh.
Yeah. An'am. That's the name of the surah or chapter, if you don't know what surah is. And it is verse 165.
So page, oh, you've been writing down notes too?
Yeah, I was trying to be like, guys, okay. I'm prepared for this. Okay, I'm going to read the verse and then I'm going to write my notes here.
Okay.
The verse says, and this is just the translation, "He is the one who has placed you as successors on earth and elevated some of you in rank over others so he may test you with what he has given you. Surely your Lord is swift in punishment, but he is certainly all forgiving, most merciful."
I can already see where the parallel, where you're trying to compare this to, but you kind of mentioned already, but go ahead.
So this is what I wrote. I'm going to read my notes and then I'm going to expand. So I wrote that this was a reminder that not all tests are meant to be negative ones. So what I meant by that was that sometimes we're tested with things that are seen as blessings or endowments, such as excessive wealth or a good spouse or a spouse in general, you know, family, friends, like things that we would, on the outside looking in, we're like, wow, that person's blessed. And so the reason why we're tested is to see, like, will we continue to obey Allah when we have everything that we've ever wanted? We usually turn to Him when we have nothing or when we're kind of feeling moments of disparity. But how often do we actually remember Him in the good times when we're endowed with all of these blessings that we have? So that's kind of like my initial thoughts.
Yeah.
And that's when I, what I wanted to like relate it to was the point of, you know, us living in the West or living in a non-Muslim country.
Yeah.
So I know we've talked about this in the past, like, oh, you know, I wish we lived in a Muslim country, especially myself now coming back from Umrah, like, those feelings really, like, when I tell y'all, the post-Umrah depression hit me like a truck. Like, truly like a truck. Yeah, I was just like,
that's expected, though. I feel like that's something people always mention.
But it's so, like, it's so hard to explain it to to someone who isn't Muslim. Because, like, how do you tell them, like, I hate living here? I actually almost, like, slipped up one day in a meeting. I tried to, like, say, I was like, Toronto's the ghetto. I hate it here. And they were all looking at me like, what's wrong with Toronto? And I was like, oh, nothing. It just and nothing's wrong with it. I love it here. It's hard to explain. Like, while we were born and raised here, and of course, this is our home. Maybe it's specifically Mecca and Medina, specifically Medina, where your heart becomes attached to it. Mostly because our beloved, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is buried there. And so I couldn't shake that feeling, I think, which is what kind of like affected my motivation for Ramadan too, because it was like literally a couple weeks later. But back to this verse where, you know, we were talking about just being like how you could be tested through blessings. That was such a like something that stuck in my mind, because how many times, you know, I think about myself and I'm like, how many times have I made dua for something and then I'm granted it? And honestly, guys, like, there are times where, like, I'll make dua for something specific. And when I get it, I'm like, oh, my God, my dua just came true. And then I have to, like, check myself real quick to be like, girl, you better be thankful. You better be grateful. And you better continue with, you know, keeping up with your obligations. You know what I mean? So, for example, someone who's endowed with, like, wealth, they're rich. That's a test, because are you using your money for good or are you using it for like corrupt and evil?
Yeah.
You know, so like when you think of being tested through blessings.
Yeah.
What's something that kind of like sticks out to you, I guess, in terms of like something that maybe you've been blessed with, but you're remembering like, okay, wait, this is actually a test. I should make sure that I'm like on my P's and Q's.
Well, like, there's always things like people say when you're working out, you know, that can build up your pride too much, right? That can be a test. It's like, you know, you're getting stronger and stuff. Like, how are you going to start showing off? Are you going to be like, oh, yeah, I am stronger than you, and trying to. So that's something to always, I always keep in mind, to keep in check. But
even your health in general, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, I guess health in general, right? Like, Allah gave me the ability to do all these things, you know, so the next time I feel too lazy to get up and pray on time or whatever, like, it's like, you know, that's a reminder. It's like, he gave you all this strength. You're stronger than the average person. No, not too much. But like, you can't even get up to pray. It's like, those are things that kind of go through your mind. And as reminders, be like, okay, you know, we were bestowed all these gifts and these abilities, so why not thank that the one who gave you those, right?
Exactly.
And generally, like, actually, there was a funny thing I was talking about where I was debating someone. okay, this might be very controversial, but like, mm-hmm. you know how in America, like we were talking about like halal meat and stuff like that. And in America, the one thing, America is an abundant place, but when it comes to Muslims specifically, it's not abundant in like halal options.
Yeah.
So we're kind of debating that and being like, when I found out, like I always thought, you know, all the Muslims there, they kind of just figure it out. But I found out a lot of Muslims actually just tend to not eat it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was debating, I was like, yeah, how can they not, you know, there's still fish, there's still all these other options. But then it's because I was kind of, I remembered that I was speaking from a place of privilege because we live in a place where we were given the excess halal options.
Yeah.
But their test is that they don't have that many halal. Their test is different, right?
Right.
And like, I can't really judge them on how they choose to fail or pass that test at the moment, right? Everyone's on their own journey.
Mm-hmm.
So then I thought about it. I was like, oh, maybe us having halal meat is like a test on us, right? To not be too gluttonous. Because now that you have all these options, you can go wherever you want.
Yeah.
You have this issue where like, because you can go everywhere, you tend to just overeat and you overindulge. And that maybe is a test in itself as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? So there, everything in your life that we deal with, at least here, I feel like is a test in a way. Because you can go overboard, and going in excess of something can also be bad for you as a Muslim in general, because then you get gluttonous, and that's also a part of something you have to worry about. Because when you're gluttonous, you tend to get lazy. When you get lazy, you don't tend to avoid doing the obligations on you. So it's all connected.
Yeah, I think when we think of like tests that you know, the believers face, we typically would think of like hardships.
Yeah,
like, you know, a family member passes away. Oh, I'm dealing with a hardship. Mm-hmm. You get really ill and you're in the hospital. Oh, I'm dealing with a hardship.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look to, you know, your brother or sister, not literal brother, like your Muslim brother or sister. And you see that from the outside looking in, they have a wonderful life. Maybe they, you know, have a really successful job and they have a spouse and they have kids and everything looks great. But when you kind of read between the lines, you're like, okay, more money usually means more problems, because just more responsibility in general.
Yeah.
If you have a spouse, your spouse has rights on you. You have to make sure you're actually fulfilling that.
Mm-hmm.
You have kids. Your kids have rights on you. You have to make sure you're fulfilling, you know, your obligations as a parent. You have
obligations towards your kids.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so
kids are a big thing. People don't realize kids are a big thing, because how you raise your kids will affect your rewards for the rest of your life, or as long, because if, inshallah, if they live longer than you, like how you raise them, like if you don't teach them the obligations, you don't teach them the things, what do they call the obligatory knowledge in Islam, like that comes back on you as a parent, right?
Yeah, like think of the same way that you think of your wealth as investment, your kids are your investment for your akhirah, right? Like the more time and effort and care that you put into investing in their religious knowledge, the more it'll just benefit you in the end, you know?
Because they say, like, when you pass away, you know, one of the things that you continue to benefit from are the du'a that come from
your kids.
Your family, but most likely your kids, right?
So
that can, if, as long as you instill that into them at a young age and they grow up knowing that, then you will continue to benefit up until the day of judgment. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Exactly. And I think, you know, while we can specifically speak to the experience of Muslims living in non-Muslim countries such as Canada, such as the States, Europe, wherever, those that live in Muslim countries, there's a test for them too. Having the ability to practice your religion so openly, freely, it's almost like accessible for them, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, there are mosques in every corner. So the test is, now you really don't have an excuse to pray. Like, now you can, and their society is functions in a way that is best suited for Muslims. They have shortened hours during Ramadan. They work closes for Jummah. Like, when we were there, shop owners will literally close their shop during prayer times.
Yeah.
They close down. So, like, it's a test in all, like, the way that you see it. And don't think of a test as a negative thing, right? Like, a test is an
opportunity.
Exactly.
Oh, sorry. Did I take your word for you?
Yeah, that was literally what I was going to say. No, it's not a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, that's exactly what I was thinking. It's an opportunity for you to gain reward, to erase some of your sins. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the last part here where it says, he is certainly all forgiving and most merciful, yes, the sentence before that says, surely your Lord is swift in punishment, but he is certainly all forgiving. So yes, while we should fear the punishment from Allah, there are constant reminders of his mercy and his forgiving. Is it forgiveness?
Oh my God.
I was trying to be all serious. Yeah. Too. Hear me
out. But it's not a serious podcast, guys. At the end of the day, okay.
Remembering Allah's mercy on us, it's almost like heartwarming too to remember that you just gotta try, like try, you know. So that was.
Oh, there's a quote. Oh. I wish I could bring that quote out right now, or I could remember it. But like the summary, or what do they call it again? What is it when you like reword a quote? The paraphrase is basically like, as long as you're seeking forgiveness, he will not punish you. I need to find that line. Maybe I can put it up in front of us or when I find it here. But yeah, so basically, as long as you continue to seek forgiveness, like, you know, Allah is the most merciful. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah. Right? So, you know, even us talking about not feeling as motivated, that's a test, right? Like, what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to sit here and be like, oh, I'm not motivated? Are we going to try and take some steps towards finding that motivation again? And so everything can really be a test. Everything can be an opportunity, however you want to view it. Sometimes it's just like a mindset shift, you know, like you don't always have to look at things in a negative standpoint. You can kind of view it in a more optimistic type of way to help you. But I wanted to bring this verse forward because of that. And I like how all of our topics just happened to like,
and just remember that. One last thing I was going to say, like that kind of goes back to that debate I was having, is that when the doing the good thing or following what Allah has ordered is hard, like in that case, when it comes to, you know, lack of options from where you are for eating halal meat and stuff, that's an opportunity. Like the harder, the better is almost, because like the harder the test, that means the more you can benefit from it. Of course, at the end of the day, we're all still human, which is essentially where the debate kind of came down to. But yeah, that's something to keep in mind. Like as the harder, the more you strive. And also when it comes to opportunities, is that like maybe you can be the person that makes that change, that makes it easier for others, right? Whether it's in specifically in that halal industry, like if there's no options, you can be the person to bring those options to that area, right?
Yeah.
And then you can benefit, because you opening that door, anyone else who benefits from your company, whatever you build, like you get rewarded from that as well.
Exactly.
Usually whenever you start something and other people benefit from it, then you get kind of like the kickback rewards from that as well. So that's something to also keep in mind. But you know, that was the last thing I wanted to mention there.
So I hope you guys enjoyed the first verse of the week. If you guys sound like a banjo. If you guys have any verses that you want to share, please do in the comments. We would love to read them in future episodes. Kind of have like a little post up, like a post episode reflection type of situation.
I'll try and remember what that quote is. Maybe I can bring that next time, but it's kind of, we've already covered it a little bit. You know, we'll see. But actually, one thing that I wanted to, we're kind of moving into, you know, non-Ramadan related stuff here. Maybe actually one of them could be Ramadan related, but like a couple of things we wanted to cover quickly is that, like, since last week we were talking about like tariffs and everything going on with that. Sad I said that new stuff has been happening, but honestly, there's so much that's been going on.
It's
I don't know what the new things are. I don't know what's going on. Like, it's been hits on, off. I think you mentioned that last time, too. And now, apparently, there are some on, like, steel or something like that. And
oh, my God. Yes, actually. You're right. There is some on steel. You want to know why?
Why?
I found this out during work. I was literally about to pull it up on ChatGPT. Someone at work has to get a leg brace. That, like, part of it is made from steel, and it has to be ordered from the States. And it was going to cost her like well over $3,000, and her insurance was refusing to cover all of it.
So it's literally affecting like people immediately.
And like she needs it in order to like walk even. And she can't get it now. Because it's too expensive for her.
Just for one piece.
So
I guess, the tears really are in there on the steel. I didn't know that it would affect people that quickly.
Like they've already like instantly applied it. And so,
Car prices are probably going to go up.
I wouldn't be surprised. And like, I think, you know, grocery stores, like there was that when the day that the tariffs came into effect. People were saying like, don't buy American products. But like,
it's hard to there decipher. Are certain things that like you can't really go without. And ironically enough, in America, they're saying like they don't need anyone. There was a report that came out recently where they were checking with like other European countries to see if they can get extra eggs from them because they don't have enough egg supply without their prices going like skyrocketing.
Mm.
And like just a few days before, they were saying, we don't need any of y'all. Y'all need us. So
they backtracked. And no one's
benefiting from this. Mm-hmm. Like there's no real like business tactic that this orange man is bringing to the situation.
Yeah.
I feel like it's all just kind of like, you know, an old senile man's point of view and like what he thinks is right. You know, it's like anyone who thought he would be a good businessman at all, knowing, or I don't know if they know that he has like 3 failed businesses. He went into bankruptcy like multiple times.
Yeah.
So I don't know why you would trust someone like that. If anything, he's probably going to bankrupt your own country.
He
right?
probably so, is going to do that.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of very not uneasy, but like it's a very like tumultuous time where we just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And
like, is the U.S. going to declare war on the entire world and everyone's going to be in turmoil?
He hasn't stopped saying he's going to try and annex Canada and take it over. And he keeps saying, you know, if you look at the things he says, are like, it's so rudimentary and like so like simple. It's like, even if you look at America and Canada on a map, if you attach them together, it'll look so beautiful. I'm like, that is not like a reason to try and take over a country.
I know.
Right? And yeah, so it's going to be interesting what happens in a year from now, because I feel like there's so many things changing day by day that you kind of have to wait till things settle. I don't know if they ever will settle, but give it a year to see what actually did have an effect, right? Because there is right now we're already seeing it's affecting people you know personally.
Yeah.
But I feel like you have to give it a year to see how it affects everyone.
Right.
Right. Because I don't know, Canada's definitely gonna feel the effects of this, and we got a new prime minister now who was officially sworn in, which is Mark Carney. I don't know if we mentioned that last 2 weeks ago.
I think we were, yeah, like briefly.
Yeah, but well, he's officially sworn in now. He like got rid of our carbon tax, which is the first thing he did. I don't know how much that was affecting us.
Yeah, I don't really know.
It was like a 2% thing, but, and he also, he's now like, he ran the Bank of Canada. And I think he even ran the Bank of England for a long period of time.
Oh.
So he's more of like a...
like a finance guy?
Yeah, he's like a liberal finance guy, like a liberal... Trump? No. I wouldn't even compare him like that. But
yeah,
people think that he's going to help us in this time where a lot of the issues that we're dealing with are with finances, technically, and like
the economy.
The economy, yeah.
If he can help Canada's economy, keep him in power.
Well, yeah. Well, and a lot of conservatives now are like, we didn't democratically. It's basically the same situation of what happened with Kamala when she ran for vice president. How they're saying, oh, she wasn't democratically voted to be the head of the Democratic Party to run against Trump. Basically, the exact same thing is happening now with Mark Carney, where people are saying, we didn't vote for this guy, so let's have a new vote for the country. Even though in Canada, we don't vote for the person.
Yeah,
you vote for the party. You vote for like the individual in your riding. I think I mentioned that 2 weeks ago as well.
Yeah.
But like you vote for the individual in your riding, and then that person gains a vote for the person who's the leader of your party. So it doesn't matter who the leader of your party is. Like, sure, he is directing the party in a sense, but he is still kind of working with the rest of his party.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a cabinet, but I don't know. I feel like a lot of those claims are just because they're bumhurt that conservatives aren't the leader right now. And they feel like if there is a vote right now, conservatives would be the leader. But I don't think that would be the case, because I think actually Doug Ford recently put support behind Mark Carney.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, because Doug Ford he's of course the premier of Ontario, and Ontario plays a big part in this tariff war, right? Because a large part of our population is in Ontario.
Yeah.
So him supporting Mark Carney in this tariff war, I feel like is going to take a lot of the steam away from Pierre Poilievre, who is the conservative leader in Canada. So that's your little politics for the day.
We'll see how it all plays out.
I don't know. So the tariff war has begun officially. It's already affecting people we know, but I feel like we're going to need a couple months to know like how much this really affects us until we start seeing those prices really go up. Ugh. Yeah.
I'm going to cry when that happens. You have
to be more efficient, man. Start buying. I keep telling people, buy tuna, man. Tuna will save your life. It's good in protein, has a lot of minerals and vitamins. You know, it's all the mercury nonsense that people are talking about. I've been eating fish every single day of my life. I turned out all right. So I think it'll be safe.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But speaking of buying stuff, one last thing I wanted to talk about was this conversation I've been having with my wife about consumerism. Mm-hmm. And we've been kind of working away from being consumerist. It kind of came up, or not, it was already a conversation, but I kind of came into this conversation and started like seeing it more of an option or a viable thing to do when the tariff war started, because everybody was doing this whole thing where they're avoiding American products, right?
Right.
So we were like, let's take it the next step and let's just like try to avoid being over consuming in general and like be more aware of where we're spending our money, where we're going. Like instead of you going to Walmart, why not go to your local grocery store? Things might be a little bit more expensive, but as long as you're more of like, not efficient, but strategic on what you're buying, you might be able to, and you know, you might have to make maybe a trip to one or two, maybe even three stores. It's going to be a little bit harder, but at least your money's not going towards a large conglomerate that is known to take advantage of its workers.
So you're being a conscious consumer.
Exactly. Be more of a conscious consumer.
Got it.
I feel like it's something that everyone can benefit from, especially now that we don't know like how prices are going to be affected and how, because mostly going to be American products, right? So if you go to more local places, I feel like you're going to be dealing with like more Canadian products, more local products. So you might not be affected as much when it comes to prices. So, you know, and you might be buying more seasonal stuff. So when you're buying more seasonal stuff, you're kind of being more conscious on what you're buying. And, you know, maybe you don't need to have perfect avocados all year round.
Well, I also think that like that might be coming a little bit from a place of
a privilege.
Yeah. Because not everyone, one, has the expendable income to spend a little bit extra because it's local. Well,
that's the thing. You don't have to exactly spend a little extra income because one thing we did realize is that there are certain things that you can find at Walmart. It'll be like 30 cents more expensive at the other store.
Yeah. But for some, like, it's not just about the price alone. Mm-hmm. Like some people who use food stamps, I don't know if every single store.
Do we have food stamps in Canada?
I think we do.
I feel like Canada just gives money.
Yeah, but barely enough.
Let me search that up. I don't know. I think we do have food stamps. If you're American, maybe that can be more of like a conversation or something that may be a barrier to where you can buy stuff. But I feel like food stamps can be used almost everywhere. No? Let me search this up. One second.
We don't have the food stamp program like the U.S., but we have various forms of food assistance. So we have like coupons. Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, mostly like coupons, vouchers, food banks, like that kind of stuff. We don't use food stamps here. Yeah,
because our government usually just gives people money. Like they say, here's like a monthly stipend for like, this would be for your living and food expenses.
Yeah, right?
You have like other options where you can go to food banks to get food as well. And I went to a food bank once.
Like, oh, really?
I helped out at a food bank once. Mm-hmm. And you can get some pretty good quality stuff. Of course, I wouldn't say as a person who is well off, don't go there, okay? Leave it for the people who actually need it.
Yeah.
But they have almost everything, at least when it comes to your like vegetables, fruits and vegetables that you might need.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe the quality isn't like 100%, but it's still edible.
Yeah.
Okay, that made it sound bad. Yeah, it's still like it won't turn away a regular person who's just looking at it, right? Like it looks okay. Okay.
Do we have farmers markets here? I think we do, right?
We do have, yeah.
They're just not.
There's actually one right next to my place that happens. In the winter they're not
open as much. It's hard with their weather. Yeah.
But in the summer they usually open up, like I think around April or May, and then they go on throughout the whole summer.
I know there's the St. Lawrence market that happens.
Yeah, the St. Lawrence market is all around here, all year round.
Yeah, and like if you're in the area, it's convenient. But someone who's like in the East End or Super West, it's like, am I gonna drive all the way there just to get my
produce? There are a lot of barriers. I feel like, to this. Like, you have food deserts, or you have places where Walmart's the only option.
Yeah, unfortunately. Right? Or
especially in, like, Canada, we're not, they don't really take into account, like, urban design.
Mm.
So you'll have just a bunch of houses, and there'll be just a giant Walmart in the middle, right?
Yeah.
So I know for those locations, it can be a little harder, but, you know, as long as the people who are able to do it are more conscious about what they're buying, I feel like it'll be a general good. And
it's a start.
It's a start, right?
For sure,
and then maybe it'll, like, people will start seeing the trend, and they might start creating more local grocery stores. And, you know,
it's sort
as
of
long
like,
as you're taking money away from these large conglomerate companies that are taking advantage of their worker base, then
it's a general good. It's like the whole thing about, like, fast fashion and, like, kind of steering away from that, and, you know, buying either secondhand, like, through vintage.
Yeah, because I was just kind of focused on groceries right now.
Yeah.
But a big part of it is also clothing and just any items that you would normally get on, like, Amazon. The other part of the other, I guess, equation to this, or part of the equation, is Amazon.
Yeah.
Amazon is, like, the big company for when it comes to the small things you might buy, like, just anything that's not food you might get on there.
Mm.
And then, of course, you have Walmart with, like, food, who's, like, taking over neighborhoods, shutting down local businesses.
Yeah.
And just kind of, like, eating up all the
competition. It's like a monopoly.
Yeah.
If you took business in school.
Amazon, like, other options are, what is it, secondhand clothing? Yeah, secondhand clothing stores, basically.
Yeah, like thrift shops.
Yeah, thrift shops. And also, you can go to Facebook Marketplace. Not go to, but, like, you can go onto Facebook Marketplace. Like, one thing that I've been huge on, or we've been huge on, at least for our apartment, is just going to straight to Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah,
it's rare that we would go to a place, like, online, like an online shop, to get whatever we wanted. We were consciously just trying to go to Facebook Marketplace and find it, even if it took time.
Yeah.
Like, we got the basics, and as long as we had the basics, which is, like, a place to sit down and a place to eat, then we could get
everything
else. Stop
making your apartment sound like it's just, like, a... like, just four walls and a little chair. Like, it's very nice, mashallah.
Yeah, but, like, but once we had the table to eat at.
Yeah.
And the utensils and stuff, and we had a couch to sit on.
Yeah.
Everything else, we were like, let's go to Facebook Marketplace, search it up.
Yeah.
You know, and you can get also for a steep discount for those who are more, you know, want to be a little bit more, like, conscious on their spending. You're definitely going to save a lot of money on there.
Yeah.
And it's more local, of course. It's secondhand, so you're not really helping the large
corporations
on this. You kind of, and also it gets rid of waste. Not, it gets rid of the need for waste, or, like, the, yeah, essentially gets rid of waste, because instead of someone throwing it out, then someone else can use it that actually needs it. So that's another 100% benefit to it, right? So Facebook Marketplace is a huge thing. There's actually another thing that my wife told me about that I forgot what the name of it is, but essentially, like, you can get a lot of your, like, cleaning supplies from there.
Oh.
For cheap. So essentially what you do is you'll take your jug of that you use for, what do you call that thing? Not dishwashing, but, like,
detergent.
Detergent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll take that to there, and then they'll just refill your jug for you.
Where is that?
So you get it at, like, a discount. I need to search what it up. But there's one near our place.
Oh.
But I need to search up what the actual name of it is.
Yeah.
Let me see. Let me call her.
You're going to call her?
I'm going to just call her.
Phone a friend?
Her. Yeah, let me ask her. Okay. So I found out what it's called. It's called Refilleries.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Which is super to the point.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can search up for, like, your local refillery for things like that.
Mm.
So that's a way to kind of, like, first off, not get rid of, but stop wasting those jugs and just throwing them out.
Mm.
And you can just reuse it, right? Why not? You can just, and now you're getting detergent at, like, a discount because you're not worrying about the packaging and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you're not creating as much waste. So that's another thing to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. And there's actually, I'm getting this mostly from, like, a video that we watched together, or she sent me, but we were watching, called My 2025 Plan to Defeat Capitalism and Save Money.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a couple things that she mentioned to, like, they're probably a process of thinking when it comes to what you're, before you buy something.
Mm.
So it's just a quick list. So it's like, can I fix what I already have, or can I find a local repair shop? So let's say, your laptop breaks down, like, why not try and see if there's someone who's local to you who can repair it, if you're not the type of person who can normally repair a laptop. That's why I feel like that's how I kind of developed my skills as a child. You know, I was repairing a lot of things. Like, I have like a Frankenstein MacBook back there that's like taken from like another dead computer that wasn't working. So that's definitely an option there.
But you also do? Make sure.
Yeah. Remember my computer from like college?
Yeah.
Yeah. It died. So I and
you
my
took
sister's
it apart?
Yeah, my sister's MacBook had died or like wasn't working.
Yeah.
So I took apart hers and like took the pieces that worked from hers and took out the pieces that worked from mine and like swapped them together and made it work.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Who do you think you are, Apple? Like, dang.
And Apple actually wanted to stop that. They don't like people. There's this thing called right to repair, and they're trying to get rid of that. The ability for people to repair their devices,
because
making
they want
them irreparable, essentially.
They just want you to buy.
Yeah, they just want you to buy a new one and create more waste. But yeah, so that's one thing to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. And also, like, can I borrow it from a friend? So let's say it's something you feel like you need for like a month or two. You don't need it that often, but you feel like the only option is buying it, try and borrow from a friend. That's another option. And then there's another option of just going to a buy nothing group. So like basically if someone just doesn't want anything anymore, it's almost like when you go on Facebook Marketplace and you're like free.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, right? But there are certain specific groups made for that.
Okay.
And then also you can just see if someone can make it for you. So this is for maybe something that's not as complex. Like if you don't know someone who can make, if you wanted to a new computer, you might come to me and be like, hey, can you build me a computer? Right? Okay, that might be a little bit, because I still have to go and buy the pieces or whatever. But yeah. Let's say you know someone who knows how to knit. You can say, hey, can you knit me a hat? Like, that might be an option, right?
Yeah.
So there are different ways. Of course, a lot of them are, like, very unorthodox. And you feel like, oh, why do I want to go through all that extra work? But yeah. If you're trying to be more of, like, a conscious consumer, I feel like you kind of have to make certain sacrifices, especially if you're privileged enough to be able to make these sacrifices.
Right.
And have the time to do these things.
Yeah.
Because like, sure, you can say like there are people who might not be able to do these, but like I mentioned before, as long as there's enough people who are out there who have the ability to make these changes, at least it might change the culture, and then it'll kind of like trickle down and make these things more accessible to the people who may have not had the option in the past.
Yeah.
Right? This is how you kind of start. You start from the top and you hope that hopefully it trickles down. It's almost like trickle down economics, but it actually works.
Okay. If we're being optimistic. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, there are a few more other things, but I'm going to put up this video. I probably have it already up here or something. Just check out the whole video on how to be more of a conscious consumer. I don't want to go too long on this, but that's definitely been something we've been more aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook Marketplace has been a big thing for me.
Yeah,
personally.
You've been
like
obsessed.
That's, yeah,
it's
that's
like been, your hyperfixation.
Yeah,
right now.
I'm always. I look at Facebook Marketplace at least once a day.
Yeah.
Because there's always like some deal that comes out. Like half the stuff that we have right now is from Facebook Marketplace that we're using.
Are these from there?
Yeah, these are from Facebook Marketplace.
See, Amir takes care of all this stuff. I'm
yeah,
just like,
exactly. So
you swipe away. You do what you got.
There's always an option, and that's just one thing I wanted y'all to take away from. Well, you have a lot of things I want y'all to take away from this video.
Yeah.
But being a conscious consumer is the next thing you could think of, because as Muslims, we're also told to not be over consumers. Mm. Like I feel like it's like basically built into our deen at this point. So
yeah.
It's something to keep in mind because especially with these companies who are going against, and remember in America how like once Trump got into office, a lot of these large corporations were like, yeah, we're going to get rid of DEI initiatives.
Yep.
That should be your motivation to kind of steer away from these companies and try to be more conscious about where you're getting your stuff.
Exactly.
Right. So I'm going to leave it at that. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the video. Sorry again for the delay, but we're back. And I don't think we have plans of being gone for a while again.
No, not that I know of.
Yeah, not that I know of either. So until then, make sure you subscribe to the channel if you want to see more of this. And also follow us on other Cousin Connection, at Cousin Connection Pod on all our other social medias, Instagram, TikTok.
Don't forget to leave a comment.
Oh, yeah. Leave a comment. You know, reply to any of the conversations we had today. You know, all the prompts I gave in there. But until then, we'll see y'all next week.
Bye. Bye.